Thank you, Mr. Browning, and good afternoon and happy Sabbath to you all. On a long, uneventful flight, both the crew and passengers were enjoying a smooth and quiet ride when the sound of the captain's voice suddenly came across the intercom. In a calm voice, he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I have two announcements I need to give you. One would be good news, one would be bad. I'm going to start with the bad news. The radar is broken. Either I don't know how to read this compass correctly, or it's broken as well. Honestly, we're completely lost." After a short pause, he came back on intercom, this time a little bit more optimistic, and he goes, "Now, I'll give you the good news. You'll be happy to know we're making very good time." This short, fictitious story may come across a bit comical at first glance, but if we look past that humor that it was triggered and view it from a vantage point of a warning, we'll find a hidden message that holds a vital lesson that we can start applying to our lives today that will help us our entire spiritual walk. But before we stop and analyze this, I would like to just jump straight into the book and the Bible here and turn back to Psalms 119 to start setting the foundation. Psalms 119, and we'll start in verse 10. Psalm 119, starting in 10. "With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word." Keeping God's law active in our life allows us to keep our focus to what's right in front of our eyes. It keeps us involved with our calling. So with that in mind and these scriptures we just read, let's begin to look at that situation created by that pilot a little bit closer and find that hidden message. So I ask you, in your own thoughts, how do you think or suppose this unusual event was allowed to happen in the first place? Think about it. One would think that the pilot didn't initially set out to put anyone in any danger, but despite his original intentions, he did. Is it possible that it could be mechanical failures? The compass wasn't working or he couldn't read it. The radio quit working. The radar's not, he can't read anything on the radar as well. But regardless of any mechanical failure, a pilot should know his equipment. He should know how to react and have backups when failures occur. A responsible pilot would have checked his aircraft. He would have did a systems check prior to takeoff during the entire flight. So if something happened, he would know what to do. So the true weak link in this scenario begins to emerge. It's the pilot. A pilot must have a high level of commitment when operating anything involving aircrafts, because he doesn't only ensure his own safety and his safe return. Everyone who's on the airplane has put their lives in his hand. He has to have a high level of integrity and accountability. A qualified pilot has invested the time it takes necessary to get his license, but it doesn't end there. They must also commit to keeping their skills sharp through advanced training and continuing their education. They must be committed to keeping those skills sharp. They must spend hours honing those skills, learning what it takes to learn new tactics and how to react when emergency situations occur. A responsible pilot will not allow themselves to become preoccupied by routine actions because they stay engaged 100% of that entire flight. They know what's ahead of them. They know what they've left behind them, what's above them, what's below. And another thing they do is they keep in contact with air traffic control, so if a problem does occur, those that are need to know are already in the loop. So after all that, how does that apply to you and me? Proverbs 16:3 will start to answer that question. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 3. I'll be reading this scripture from the Amplified Bible. It's pretty close, but I like how it puts it. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3 says, "Commit your works to the Lord. Submit and trust them into Him. And your plans will succeed if you respond to His will and His guidance." That's exactly how it applies to us. It's all about commitment. If we're not active and constantly engaged in our calling, we can come be lost, just like that pilot. We can think we're fine, going through the normal routines, and not know where we're at when an emergency situation occurs. As chosen first fruits, we have a great responsibility placed on our shoulder. It comes with great consequences if we fail to stay engaged. Our commitment, it must supersede anything else we do in this life and become our number one priority. This will give us the proper foundation we need to stand in the world, because without it, we will fail. The level at which we are committed will determine the strength of that foundation during our entire spiritual walk. Mr. Armstrong once said something very interesting about our foundation. I can't quote it word for word, but it went something like this. "If our foundation is found with fault and not corrected, then whatever we build upon it will not stand, no matter how good or beautiful that structure may look." Brethren, it's imperative that we seize every moment that God grants us to shore up that foundation. These moments were designed for us to learn, to do, and to commit. God expects this process to stay in a perpetual motion. So the more we learn, the more we do. The more we do, the more we commit ourselves to our calling. And the more we commit ourselves to our calling, the more evident it will be in our lives and be an inspiration, not only to your brethren, but to this world. That decision you made at baptism, when you committed yourselves to living according to God's way, it has to always be in a state of development. God desires each and every one of us to mature as we obey His laws. This calling, what we do day by day, it's not just what we do. It's what we're becoming. To develop into what we want to be, what God desires us to be, it requires a dedication on our part. And it's not going to be easy. I know I'm preaching to the choir here. It doesn't matter young, old in age, young, old spiritually speaking. It doesn't matter if you had that aha moment and were called out of the world, or if you were raised here in the church like I am. We each are on the exact same plane in God's eyes. It doesn't matter how long we've been keeping this law. We're all striving to overcome, and yes, we struggle. Each one of us struggle at times. That's why God requires that we are constantly to stop and reevaluate our commitment. This will remind ourselves why we personally decided to take this walk in the first place. If you would please turn back to 2 Corinthians 13:5. This is usually reserved around Passover, but it's just too good of a scripture just one time a year. 2 Corinthians 13:5, and once again, I will be reading this from the Amplified Bible. It says, "Test and evaluate yourselves to see whether you are in the faith and living your lives as committed believers. Examine yourselves, not me, or do not recognize this about yourselves by an ongoing experience that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test and rejected his counterfeit." This type of evaluation is a reminder of what we do and why we do it. It keeps us in close contact with every tool necessary to grow in grace and knowledge. Failure to see the importance of our commitment will leave us in a state of uncertainty. We don't want to find ourselves not knowing what we're doing and why we're doing it. Commitment, though, will keep our eyes focused, keep us on track to our reach, so that we can reach our desired destination. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have been driving somewhere? It could be the work, and even be coming to services, and you suddenly arrive and you cannot remember how you got there. You know how to drive. You know the rules, and you know the route. but you cannot remember a single minute. After researching this online, I found it very interesting, and it can be applied spiritually. So it's actually a condition called highway hypnosis. It's a mental state in which a person can operate an automobile in a safe manner, but consciously have no recollection of doing so. It simply boils down to how we perceive time. When we're doing something we do often, time seems to shrink. But if we alter that routine, our minds allow us time to stretch out. The longer it takes for our brain to process information, the longer time will feel. So when our brain is not processing a lot of information, like on a boring commute, the time it passes, it doesn't feel that long. Our familiarity with our commute, what it does, it gives our brain less information to compute. To resolve this, what we need to do is recalibrate our brains by paying attention to everything that's around us. The more we pay attention to an event, the longer time will feel. So if we put a change in perspective and it brings us out of our comfort zone, what we're doing, we're allowing our brains to create new memories. So we're eventually asking our brains to stretch that time out. But we find ourselves not allowing things to be changed up. We're not engaging our minds. Time seems to shrink and go by just like a boring commute. Can we suffer from highway hypnosis as we follow God's way of life? Can our spiritual walk become a boring commute? Yes. Yes, it can if we're not focused on what we're doing and keeping our eyes on the big picture. In his prayer of repentance, King David knew the danger of losing that connection, and he asked God in Psalm 51, verse 12, he said, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." He didn't want to forget about it, and he did not want to lose it. Forgetfulness brought on by our carelessness and by our sins is a destroyer of faith, and it can destroy us. But we need to do whatever we need to do to rejuvenate that joy, that first love. The restoration of that joy comes from strengthening our commitment to both God and our calling. So in closing, I will propose a question, and you can put this as the title of this message, that we should ask from time to time. How strong is my commitment? So let's use the tools that we have been given to keep ourselves sharp, ready to face what this world has to throw at us, because this evil world wants to do nothing but to overcome each and every one of you and me. Let's break our routines, keep our faith active, restore our hope and keep it alive, and run a race with purpose and vision. Let's continue to learn, to do, and to commit ourselves to this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. If we're sincere in doing this, when that day comes, when the end of this age appears, we won't have to fear of hearing a voice, "I have some good news, and yes, I have some bad news." But what we will hear, brethren, is, "Well done, my good and faithful servant."